bag and care to watch it.
Good evening. Let's all stand together. We'll sing hymn number 272. 272. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils His lovely face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. His oath, His covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. Be seated. We'll sing hymn number 224. 224. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me He hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for His own. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I know not how this saving faith to me He did impart, nor how believing in His word wrought peace within my heart. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, through the Word, creating faith in Him. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I know not what of good or ill may be reserved for me, of weary ways or golden days before His face I see. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I know not when my Lord may come, at night or noonday fair, nor if I'll walk the vale with Him, or meet Him in the air. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day.
Isaiah 63. I didn't know what Houston was going to read this morning, but I was listening to some sermons from Cody Henson, and he referred to Isaiah 55, and I knew I hadn't read back there in a long time, so. Isaiah 63. Who is this that cometh from Edom, with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in mine fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. I will tread down the people in mine anger, and make them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord, and the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us. And the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies, and according to the multitude of his loving kindness. For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their Savior. In all their affliction he was afflicted, and in the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and he bare them and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and vexed in his Holy Spirit. Therefore he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. Then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he that put his Holy Spirit within him, that led them by the right hand of Moses with his glorious arm, dividing the water before them, to make himself an everlasting name, that led them through the deep as a horse in the wilderness, they that should not stumble, as a beast goeth down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord caused him to rest. So didst thou lead thy people to make thyself a glorious name. Look down from heaven, and behold from the habitation of thy holiness and of thy glory. Where is thy zeal and thy strength, the sounding of thy bowels of thy mercies toward me? Are they restrained? Doubtless thou art our father, though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not. Thou, O Lord, art our Father, our Redeemer. Thy name is from everlasting. O Lord, why hast thou made us to err from thy ways, and hardened our heart from thy fear? Return, for thy servant's sake, the tribes of thine inheritance. The people of thy holiness have possessed it but a little while. Our adversaries have trodden down thy sanctuary. We are thine. Thou never bearest rule over them. They were not called by thy name. Almighty God, you are our Father. We come to you and we thank you for your mercies every day. We ask that you would have mercy on us. We ask that you would watch over us, and that you would cause us to think on you, Lord, for us to be happy to submit to your will, whatever it bring. Lord, we ask that you would be with our families that don't know you, Lord. We thank you for this morning service, and we ask that you would be with Brother Bruce this afternoon, and you lay your word on him, Lord. We thank you for him and for his wife and for bringing them to us, for bringing Brother Donnie back home safe. We ask that you would be with him this afternoon, Lord. Cause us to hear. We thank you, Lord, and all these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Hymn number 314. I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith, and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me near, nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour, that before thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer, and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. There are depths of love that I cannot know, till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach, till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Brother Bruce, you come on and bring what the Lord's put on your heart.
Push it for me, would you? I'm ready to go. Over in Matthew's Gospel, if you want to turn with me to my text tonight, you'll find it in the 6th chapter of the book of Matthew. I can earnestly say that there's no place in this world that I'd rather be than right here tonight with you dear people, with God's saints, and the Lord knows I'm telling the truth. I'm 375 miles from my house, but I'd rather be here with you folks than home. And I'm just privileged. What a blessing. It's just, I sat there, and as we sang, and I thought, what a blessing to gather on this cold night on the Cumberland Plateau and worship our God. What a blessing. Thank you. And thank the Lord for you. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, I remember the last message I preached to you folks in the conference was on prayer. And I want to preach this message tonight to encourage us to pray. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. Thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, and thine is the glory, forever. Amen." This is a perfect example or perfect pattern for us to pray. The Lord didn't tell us just to read this and repeat it as a congregation, but He gives us a perfect pattern, perfect words to say. When you pray, pray like this. This is an excellent pattern. Use these words or words equivalent to this. Get the message that's in this prayer, what this means to pray. And I want to look at that, but I want to look also at what He says here about, He reveals to us the attitude of prayer. And isn't that just as important as what we say? The way we come, our heart's attitude when we pray. John Bunyan used to say, I'd rather have a heart without any words than to have a bunch of words without any heart when I pray. And there's many times that when we pray, we don't have words, but we have groanings which can't be uttered, our Father, and we groan. But the first thing the Lord Jesus says about here, I think, reveals to us something about the attitude of our prayer, because He mentions this, and He said, "After this manner, pray ye." And the first thing He mentioned is this: "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." The first thing He mentions, I think, is the attitude that we have in prayer. And what is it? It's an attitude of love. Our Father. Who are we approaching? He's our Father. And if we approach Him in the Spirit, and that Spirit is a spirit of love, then we must approach Him in love. We have this word we call filial, I think the way you pronounce it, filial. It's the relationship that a child has to its parents. We talk about filial fear. It means a reverence for your parents. And filial obedience, you obey your parents, you honor your parents and obey your parents. And here's that love, that filial love, the love that a child has for its father. You trust your Father. You love your Father. And when God sends the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, that is a spirit of love, isn't it? And God is love. And Christ is love. And so when we pray, we pray to our Father, and He uses this word here that draws out of the depths of our soul this affection Father, Father, haven't you found a lot of comfort in that? My Father, and it just produces and draws from the low bottom of your heart this love. Father, Father, Father. This word, I think, is suited for every occasion in our life. Father. Don't never, for any reason, under any circumstances, refuse to call God your Father. If He has made you His child, then always address Him as Father. He may lay the rod heavy upon your back, but He does it because He loves you, and He's your Father. There are times in the Lord Jesus Christ's life when He was upon this earth that He addressed God as His Father. And it's every occasion that you can imagine. One time, when He was thinking of His Father's peculiar and discriminating mercy and grace, He said, Father, I thank You that You've hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. When we think of the Father's electing love, what should we say? Father, we thank You. Thank You for Your electing love. When you see Him call some poor sinner out of darkness and leave somebody else in darkness, what should we say? Father, thank You. Thank You for Your electing love. Thank Him for His discriminating mercy. When things are going well in your life and you're rejoicing, always say, Father, thank You. Boy, you get up in the morning like this morning, boy, and the sun shining. My sister opened up the windows and, man, the sun just lit up the whole living room. Thank You, Father. You've let Your Son rise up on us. Thank You. Father, I thank You. He's a good pattern for us, isn't He? But you know, sometimes His joy turned to heaviness, just like ours do. How are we to pray when we're in the garden, our garden of Gethsemane, and our souls are grieved even unto death? How are we to pray then? When you're on the hospital bed, or you're so sick, or you're so weak, how should we pray then? Father, if it be Your will, let this cup pass from me. Father, if it's not Your will that this cup pass, Your will be done. Oh, that's a good time to pray. When you're down, when you're burdened, when you're tried sore, Father. When He was on the cross, how did He pray? He prayed the same way, didn't He? Boy, when He was persecuted, they come by and clear their throats and spit in His face. Blasphemed Him. If You be the Christ, come down from the cross and we'll believe You. How did He pray then? Father, forgive them. When people have turned on you, when friends have forsaken you, how should you pray? Father, forgive them. When it comes down to die, I mean, we're going to die. When death's cold dew lies on our brow, how will we pray in that day, brothers and sisters? He's our perfect example. Father, into Your hands I commend my spirit. What a way to begin a prayer. And it's all because of this, because of love. It's just a spirit of love. God is love. The Spirit of God's Son that's shed abroad in our heart. What does He shed abroad? The love of God. So we go to the Father, we address Him, Father, because it draws this deep affection from our hearts. Love. Love. My Father. But He says something else here. Pray after this manner, not only our Father, which art in heaven, but here's the words and here's the attitude we should address our Father in. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Our Father, and where's our Father? He's in heaven. That's His throne. That's why prayer is so amazing to us. We're coming into a God that's on the throne in heaven. And He's so high above us. Geographically speaking, He's so high above us that He humbles Himself to behold the things that's in heaven. How much more when he looks upon this earth, this insignificant ball, and when he looks upon us and our nothingness? He's our Father in heaven. He's high above us. And we're to recognize that. Oh, Father, bow down. Father, bend your ear to us because you're in heaven and we're upon this earth. We recognize this when we pray. Amen. He's high above us in His duration, isn't He? You and I are here for a few days and we die. We go old and feeble and we die. He never was born and He never shall die. He has no beginning of days nor end of life. He's God from everlasting to everlasting. Our Father, You're above us. He's high above us in His character. He is indeed the Holy Lord God. He sits upon the throne of His holiness. He's glorious in His person. He's glorious in His thoughts. He's glorious in His deeds, in His words, in His dealings with His creatures. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. He's nothing like us. He's eternally different from us. And this is our hope, isn't it? If He was like us, He could not save us. But He's nothing like us. Bless His holy name. And this is our Father who is in heaven. He's high above us in His power. We go weak and sickly and feeble. We can't even come to the public worship. We get so old and feeble. But He's God Almighty. We purpose and He disposes. We seek our pleasure and we fail. But God does whatsoever He pleases in heaven and the earth and all deep places. Sin is mixed with everything we do. We're sinners by nature, by deed, by thought, by choice. But He knows no sin. He cannot sin. He can't even look upon it with His pure eyes. He's holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And this God is our Father. We're to recognize that when we pray. The words that we use are important. We're to address Him as God who is in heaven. But our attitude is just as important. We know who we're addressing. He is indeed in heaven. And our Lord said, be certain you address Him like this. Holy is your name. Hallowed, sanctified, distinguished, separate from all other names. Stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. And blessed be His glorious name. His name tells us who He is. His name shall be called Jesus, for He shall save His people. His name means He's glorious. He's almighty. He's holy. He's good. He's gracious. From the rising of the sun even to the going down of the same, His name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto My name, and a pure offering. For My name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. Holy, reverent, separate is Thy name. God said this to Pharaoh, for this cause have I raised thee up, to show My power in thee, and that My name may be declared throughout all the earth. We're still talking about what God did to Pharaoh, aren't we? Raised him up and drowned him to magnify His name, to sanctify His holy name. There is none like Thee, Isaiah said. O Lord, Thou art great and Thy name is great in might. Who would not fear Thee, O King of nations? His name, His wonderful name. This is the attitude that we're to have when we approach Him to our Father. Just recognize He's in heaven. He's high. And His name is holy. He's glorious in holiness. And there's something about approaching Him this way. When it gets into our spirits and we realize who we're approaching, Boy, it brings this deep reverence, doesn't it? I remember when we were here Sunday morning in the conference and we worshiped and we worshiped. And nobody moved. There was a deep reverence here. And you couldn't imagine about jumping up and doing something silly or saying anything. Brother Donnie just said here, remember that? Why the presence of our Father who is in heaven was here. Can you imagine Moses, what he was feeling when the Lord told him, You can't see me and live. You can't see my glory and live. And then he put him in the cliff of the rock and said, I'm going to pass by you. And I'm going to show you my glory. And he passed by him and he said, I'm going to proclaim the name of the Lord. And he proclaimed his goodness and his mercy and his grace and his long suffering. Can you imagine how Moses felt when he did that? He made haste and bowed his head and he worshiped. That's the attitude I think the Lord is talking about. You're coming into the presence of this sovereign, holy God who is high. And it's amazing when we feel that in our souls. Imagine how that high priest felt when he went into the holiest of all with blood to sprinkle on the altar, and there was that Shekinah glory of God overshadowing the mercy seat. And he felt that rope tied around his ankle and knew why it was there. I'm approaching this glorious God. And if I don't approach Him in reverence, they'll drag me out of here. Imagine what he was feeling. Imagine Isaiah, what he was feeling when he saw the Lord high and lifted up and those cherubim singing, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Oh, he was humble in himself, wasn't he? I saw the Lord of glory. Woe is me, for I'm undone. Are those three apostles up on the mountain of transfiguration when they were there with the Lord Jesus and that cloud overshadowed them and the Lord's deity broke through his humanity and he began to glow? And his face outside shined the sun. And his clothes began to shine. They were in the presence of glory, of deity. And that voice spoke from the cloud and put a stop to Peter's silly words and rebuked him. This is my beloved Son. He's revealing his glory. Hear ye him. And I'm just saying, brothers and sisters, when we pray, we're coming into the presence of the eternal God. And He's our Father. And as wonderful it is, we come there and address Him as our Father, and our hearts are filled with adoration and love for Him. And since He's our Father and He loves us, what is it He won't do for us? He'll never do us any harm because He loves us. And we know He loves us because He's put His love in our hearts. That's why we address Him as our Father. What is it He cannot do for us since He's above the heavens? And holy and glorious is His name. I think the more I learn about prayer, the more I want to pray. Just sometimes come into the presence of the Father in heaven. And just lay there before Him, as it were. And sometimes just say, Father, Father, Father. Some people might look at this prayer and say, there's no gospel here. Some people say this prayer was for the Jews. This is full of the gospel. This prayer is full of the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't tell us here, but He tells us in other places. Why do we address God as our Father? How can we address God as our Father? Because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has redeemed us. And since He's redeemed us, He's made us His sons. And He sent forth the Spirit of His Son unto our hearts. We dare not. No man will ever approach unto God that does not have the Spirit of the Son of God, crying, Father, Father. And He's our Father. Did you notice how the Lord Jesus says that? He's our Father. When I pray to Him, I say, my Father. But when we come up here in public prayer, how do we pray? We pray, our Father. Because we're one. We have one Father. How is He one Father to us? Because in Jesus Christ, we're one. Christ has made us one. There is neither Jew, Greek. There is neither bond or free, male or female. For you are all one in Jesus Christ. You may be the weakest saint ever. But God is as much your Father as He is to those prophets or apostles of old. You got as near of access unto His presence as anybody ever had. Because your access is through Jesus Christ our Lord. We sang it this morning, Brother Donnie, an advocate with a Father. That's the way we all come and address Him as our Father. Because in Jesus Christ, we are indeed one. Accepted in the Beloved. And how in the world would we go and say, Father, forgive us of our debts, if there wasn't a Redeemer at His right hand? We have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We confess our sins. And it is amazing that the same place we say, Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Father, I've got these debts. Please forgive me. Forgive me of my sins. Those things both are so, aren't they? Every time you go to Him, you confess your sins, don't you? And He forgives you for Christ's sake. And thy kingdom come. Whose kingdom is it? It's the kingdom of God's dear Son after all, isn't it? So this is full of the gospel, isn't it? This prayer is full of the gospel. Something else just for a minute, and the Lord often does this. He often teaches us how to pray by telling us how not to pray. So He gives us a good example here of how to pray, and then He tells us here how not to pray. Look here what He says in verse 5. He gives us this example of how not to pray. It's vainglory. And then He says about the heathen, there in verse 7, vain repetition. Look, we learn a lot. We learn a lot sometimes by negative things, don't we? He gives us the positive and He gives us the negative. He tells us what to do. And then He says, you do it like this, but don't you do it like this. So look what He says in verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray. They love to pray. Hypocrites pray. And they love to pray. Ain't that amazing? You say, boy, that's a praying man. He may be, but he may be a hypocrite. You know, every time something happens to somebody now, I mean, everybody jumps on the media and jumps on the internet. Let's pray for this person, pray for that person. Okay. Everybody pray. I've got no problem with that. But just because a person prays is no sign they're a saved person. The hypocrite prays. And the Bible says here he loves to pray. He loves it. You don't always love it. Sometimes it's a burden. Sometimes it's a struggle. But a hypocrite loves to pray. And one of the reasons he loved to pray is where he prays at. Where does he pray at? Standing in the synagogue. He's always wanting to be in a prominent place. And there's a reason for that. He has to be heard. And this is the reason he prays. He prays to man. He just prays to be seen and prays to be heard of men. I never pray at the restaurants anymore. I quit doing that. I've seen people go in the restaurant and they pray with one eye open, see if anybody's watching them. I've seen people do that. I've actually seen people do that. Oh, Father, thank you for our food. I've seen people do that. I usually, before I go in to eat, I'll thank the Lord. Sometimes I'll thank Him in my heart. But when people pray just to be seen or just to be heard by man, the Lord said, don't you dare pray that way. Don't you do that. And what did He say? They have their reward. Everybody gets rewarded when they pray, don't they? The hypocrite gets rewarded. He's seen of man. He sees that man is watching him, man is hearing him. Man said, boy, you must be a holy Christian. You must be a fine Christian man. I've seen you pray over your food. They pat him on the back. What a pretty prayer. And that's his reward. He just eats it up. Yes, he's got his reward. That's all he's going to have. The child of God's got a reward too, but who does he pray for too? First of all, he don't care to run into synagogue and get up front and stand there to pray. Where does he go? In his closet. That's where he really feels comfortable at, getting in his closet. And it's not enough to get in his closet. He shuts his door, which means he shuts everything out. Nobody's welcome here. My wife's not welcome here. My kids aren't welcome here. I'm praying to my Father in secret. And you know, the Father rewards him. He that prays in secret to his Heavenly Father, he will be rewarded. God the Father will reward him. Ain't that a reward? Oh my goodness. He knows how to reward you, doesn't he? Don't you be a hypocrite. Don't pray like the hypocrites. Get along with your Father. Vain glory is all that is. And he says here in verse 7, vain repetition. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. They just chant something over and over and over again. There's a Catholic radio station somewhere up in Kentucky, and when I'm traveling sometime, I used to listen to it just to see what they were saying. I was listening to Mass one day while I was traveling. And they repeated, Holy Mary, the Mother of God, pray for us sinners. I counted 20 times. I think it was like 30 times. Holy Mary, the Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Holy Mary, the Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Why would you do that? Why would you use vain repetition like that? They think God will hear them. If I keep repeating this enough, God will hear me. The Lord said, don't you do that. Your Father knows what you have need of. You need a mercy, then ask Him for mercy, and He'll give you mercy. He knows you need mercy. You need strength, just go say, Father, I need your strength. He'll give you strength that you need. Whatever you need, just tell Him, Father, I need this. And you don't have to keep repeating it. He knows what you have need of better than you do. Better than I do. Vain repetition. Often think of that occasion where Elijah was up on Mount Carmel. Was it up on Mount Carmel where he built the altar? I think it was. Was it, Brother Donnie? I can't remember now. But Israel had left the Lord, and Elijah got Israel together upon the mountain, and he said, you fellas, build you an altar and you sacrifice to your God, to Baal, and then I'll build an altar and I'll call upon God, and whoever answers by fire, let him be God. Remember that? And they built him an altar, and they began to chant. All the Bible says they prayed was, O Baal, hear us. O Baal, hear us. O Baal, hear us. The Bible says they went from morning to noon. O Baal, hear us. O Baal, hear us. And Elijah began to mock them. He said, you need to cry a little louder. He's probably asleep. Ain't that what he said? He's probably on a journey. Maybe he's talking to somebody. Need to get his attention. He started mocking them. They got so upset, they started cutting themselves and jumping on the altar. O Baal, hear us. O Baal, hear us. There was no voice that spoke. There was no fire that fell from heaven. Could you imagine how anxious Satan was to do something that day? And the Lord told him, you stay away. You just get plumb away from here. You're not going to bring a little match and light a fire onto their sacrifices. Stay away. And nothing happened. But when Elijah built an altar, put his sacrifice on it, put the wood under the sacrifice and said, bring these tubs of water. And they poured on it and soaked the sacrifice. And they dug a big ditch and the water soaked the wood and filled up the ditch. And he said, oh God, let it be known today that there's a God in Israel. That was simple, wasn't it? And the fire of God fell, consumed the sacrifice and the wood and the stones and licked up the water in the ditch. He approached the living God. What a time that was. Don't use vain repetition. Tell the Father what you need. Our Father never slumbers. He never sleeps. His ear is open to the cries of His own. He knows what we have need of before we ask Him. Therefore, approach Him in love. Approach Him in this holy reverence, these two wonderful graces. Make known unto Him the desires of your heart. Tell Him your petition, and He'll answer you according to His own will. And that's enough, isn't it? After this manner, therefore, pray you. Father in heaven, our Father, our gracious Father, our glorious Father, you're God alone. There is no other God. In the Trinity of your sacred persons, your God, the everlasting God, why you would look upon such as we are is amazing to us. Why you would humble yourself and pity us as a father pitieth his children is amazing to us. But we believe that you do. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming down from that holy and happy place to teach us to pray, to teach us that your Father is our Father, and your God is our God. And that as He loves you, He loves us, and accepts us as He accepts you. Oh, give us grace to understand this and live in the faith of it. Everywhere we go on all occasions, to address you as our Father in heaven. Bless this dear congregation. Bless them more and more. Revive your work here. Revive your dear pastor here. Use him for your glory. Oh Lord, on this mountain, visit this mountain. Let your great grace be upon it. May your glory abide here in this place. Visit your saints here at night upon their beds. Visit them when they work. Break in upon them. Reveal your great mercy to them, your love. Amaze them by it. And they'll praise you for it. We ask these things for your glory, your glorious name. Amen.
I know we sing this one often, and it doesn't do justice to the message that we just heard, but it'll have to do for now. Sweet Hour of Prayer, hymn number 361. 361. Sweet Hour of Prayer, sweet Hour. Distress and grief. Wednesday. We're going to resume Wednesday services this week. Anything else needs announced? Y'all are dismissed. Have a good week, and we'll meet again Wednesday, Lord willing.